Well, welcome to the fourth and final week of our series called Crisis Mode. When life hits hard, it can seem like the end. All is lost. There's no way out. God feels far away, distant, silent, even indifferent to what you're going through. But the truth is, He always has a game plan. In every disaster, God is working behind the scenes, doing things you can't even see, like opening the right doors and lining up good breaks. And if you let Him, He will carry you through that storm to the other side, as long as you follow His disaster plan. One key to getting through a storm in your life, riding out that storm in your life, as we talked about in the first week of the series, is drawing strength from what matters. Never forgetting that you belong to God, and that no matter what happens to you in this life, you will always remain in the palm of His hands. No one and nothing can take you away from Him. And here's something else that can help. When there's an emergency in your life, it's so important to get back to what's tried and true, to what's always worked in the past, returning to the basics, so to speak, including and especially the basics of your faith. That's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. And then last week we said that when there's a tragedy, a lot of people start to spiral. You know, they complain, get upset, feel like a victim. But God has a much better disaster plan than blaming yourself, lashing out at the people around you, becoming impatient and angry over the circumstances, and generally allowing the worst in you to come out. Instead, one of the best things you can do in a crisis is to keep being your best. Now today, I want to offer one final strategy from God's disaster plan. I want to talk with you about faith in the dark. Back in Georgia, many years ago, there was a tornado warning for the Atlanta area where I was living. I was in my apartment and didn't think about it much. We always got those tornado warnings at a certain time of year. Nothing ever really seemed to happen to me in the past. So I was just going about my business, not paying attention, until the sky got very, very dark and turned a frightening, evil shade of green. And heavy hail started pounding down from heaven to the ground. Those are telltale signs that a tornado is nearby. So I got nervous. I closed the blinds to my bedroom, went into the bathroom, climbed into the tub, got down on my hands and my knees, covered my head with my arms, just like they had taught us in school so long ago. And all of a sudden, I heard this loud roar, came out of nowhere. This loud roar, and it kept getting closer and closer and closer. And within a few seconds, it felt like an enormous freight train had slammed into the wall of my bedroom. The whole building shook violently. I was so afraid. But then, as quickly as it had come, it was gone. The sky cleared up. It was calm outside. I was safe. It lasted only a blink of an eye. Sometimes a crisis is like that. A crisis is short, doesn't last long. The storm passes quickly, the setback was brief. That medical emergency you had was certainly frightening, but in the end it turned out to be nothing and just momentary. You lost your job but got another one, a better one, almost right away. That special person in your life walked out on you, but pretty soon you fell in love again and are happier than ever. But other times, a crisis can drag on. Seems like it will never end. When the pain keeps coming back night after night. When you keep pushing for years on the door of opportunity to get out of that crisis, but it won't budge. When you're stuck in the middle for so long, you know, not where you used to be, but definitely not where you're supposed to be. It's one thing to trust God when the answer comes quickly. But what do you do when the sickness lingers? When the relationship is still broken after so many years? When you've cried every tear and prayed every prayer and still the situation does not change? When you're lost in the dark night with no light in sight? What do you do then? To get through it, To get to the other side, what you have to do is have faith in the dark. Jesus told a story in the gospel today about a man who goes next door to his neighbor's house to borrow some bread. A friend of his had come into town unexpectedly, and he didn't have anything to offer him. Now, in that culture, being caught without, you know, food and supplies to offer guests when they showed up really would have been considered a disaster. Back then, hospitality was so important, even for strangers. You always had to be prepared for company to come over at any time and without any warning, without any notice at all. And in this case, the man's cupboard was completely bare, didn't even have bread to offer. It was embarrassing for him. To him, it was a crisis. That's why he went next door and knocked on his neighbor's door. But what's interesting about this story is that all of that took place in the middle of the night. Not in the morning or the afternoon or the evening, but at midnight. Why did Jesus include that detail in the story? Well, it's because Jesus knows what it's like to feel like you're in a midnight hour. Jesus knows what it's like to be alone and hurting in the dark. When you need answers, you need help, you need a miracle. Jesus knows what that is like. That's why he included the detail in the story. Midnight is a scary time because it's so, so dark. There's an old saying that it's always darkest just before the dawn. But scientifically speaking, that's not true. The darkest part of the night, when there's the least amount of light, is actually at midnight. That's when the sun is on the complete opposite side of the earth from you, 18 degrees below the horizon. It's the furthest away it will get from where you are on the planet in that 24-hour cycle. Midnight is the darkest point of the night. And we've all had those midnight moments, haven't we? The phone rings, and it's terrible news. The medical diagnosis comes back. It's worse than you thought. It's terrible news. The marshal shows up at your door with divorce papers. It came out of the blue. Didn't see it coming. The bills are stacking up. There's no money in your bank account. And then the foreclosure notice arrives in the mail. Midnight is not just a time of the night. It's not just a time in the 24-hour cycle. Midnight is a feeling. It's when life feels dark, heavy, and uncertain, and seems to go on forever. It seems to go on forever. But I want to encourage you today, because midnight is not the end. It's actually when a new day begins. You can't see the light yet. It's still dark outside. In fact, the darkest it will ever be. Looks like nothing is changing. The depression isn't lifting. The loneliness isn't going away. The fear is not leaving. The crisis is not ending. It keeps going on and on and on. But here's the key. It might look like midnight, but at midnight, dawn is already on the way. You just have to hold on. The man in that story didn't wait until it was convenient. Didn't wait until he saw the light of day. No, he went over and knocked in the dark. In the darkest part of the night when it was midnight. And Jesus said that his neighbor got up and gave him everything he needed. Why? Because persistence moves the heart of God. Because faith knocks in the dark, not just when it's easy. You might be thinking, Father Roger, I've been knocking for a long time. Been praying, been trusting, been believing, but it still looks like midnight to me. Can I tell you? Now is not the time to stop knocking. I know midnight looks desolate and lonely. I've been there myself. But it's also when God begins to move. It's when the tide begins to turn. It's when miracles are born. Midnight was the turning point for the Israelites when the angel of death came through the land of Egypt. They were released from slavery the very next morning. Midnight was when Paul and Silas escaped from prison after a miraculous earthquake. Midnight was when the sailors on the ship Paul was on suddenly and finally spotted dry land after 14 days of pounding waves and stormy seas. They thought would sink the ship. Midnight is not the time to give up. Midnight is the time to begin, to keep praying, to persevere, to keep trusting, to stay in faith and never give up. Genesis chapter 18, we heard it in the first reading today, or parts of it. God had good news and bad news for Abraham. The good news, he and Sarah were finally going to have that child that God had promised them 25 years earlier. The bad news, a nearby city was going to be destroyed that very night. The situation had just gotten too bad. It had reached a boiling point. God felt he had to do something about it. But all through that first reading, Abraham pleaded with God to reconsider. What if there are 50 innocent people who live there, he asked. Would you still wipe out the city? What if there were 45, 40, 30, 20, or even just 10? For Abraham, this was not just some sort of intellectual exercise on the limits of God's mercy. For Abraham, this was literally a matter of life and death. Why? Because his own nephew, Lot, lived in that city. The same nephew he had brought with him when God first told Abraham to leave home and come to a strange new land. The same nephew that Abraham had rescued from enemy hands at great personal risk and cost to himself. The same nephew he loved dearly. And all through the night, Abraham prayed persistently, boldly, asking God to show mercy. He never gave up, even though the outcome looked bleak. He kept praying in the dark, praying at midnight. And when morning came and the smoke finally cleared, Abraham saw that God had already made a way. An angel had come to Lot and told him to get up and go, leave the city. He made it through the night and his life would be spared. This is what God does. In our darkest moments, in the midnight hour, when it feels like all is lost, in the worst possible moment, God has already set a rescue mission in motion for you. A friend of mine, Liz, and her husband, Earl, owned a small farm in Central California. And like most farmers, they constantly worried about having enough water for their crops, enough workers to farm the land, and of course, the right kind of weather. But even with all those challenges, Liz and Earl enjoyed a good life together. One afternoon, just a few years ago, they were finishing up lunch together as they always did. And Earl went back out into the fields as he always did. But this time, he didn't come home. The sheriff knocked on her door with heartbreaking news. Earl had collapsed, suffered a massive heart attack, and died on the spot. And just like that, 21 years of marriage, 41 years of marriage, and it was over. Earl was the love of her life, her rock, her everything. She wondered how she could even keep going. And then, as if that weren't enough, a few months later, Liz herself was rushed to the hospital. This time it was her heart, blocked arteries. Doctor told her 10 minutes later, she wouldn't have made it. She was hanging on by a thread. And then, in the middle of all that, her arthritis came roaring back, bone on bone, excruciating pain. She needed surgery but couldn't have it. Why? Because now she was on all these heart medications that would conflict with the surgery. The doctors wouldn't allow it. She would have to live in constant pain, just hoping to survive. And all the while, Liz is trying to manage the family farm, all alone, from her hospital bed, while she was recuperating. It didn't work, and eventually she realized she was going to have to sell some of the land to keep her head above water, to make it through. And that's when the darkness really set in. Her heart was so heavy from the fear, the despair, the loneliness, and the grief. She kept saying to God, God, I don't know how much more I can take. That was her midnight hour. But what Liz did not realize was that it was already a new day. Yes, she was in the dark. Yes, she was still in pain. But midnight had come and gone, and dawn was on the way. She kept praying. She was persistent. She kept praying bold prayers as if her life depended on it, because it did. And one step at a time, God turned it around. She was able finally to get that surgery she needed. The pain eased up. Her heart was healing. Her hip was healing. She still missed Earl desperately, but even the grief was lifting. She got her finances back on track, sold part of the land, moved into a smaller place, and one other miracle, so many people out of nowhere stepped up to help her in her midnight hour, including some people right here at St. Hilary. Looked like the storm was finally over for Liz. For the first time in a long time, she could see the dawn breaking over the horizon. Things still weren't perfect, life never is, but she had peace again. She had strength again. She had hope again. She was walking in the light of a brand new day because she held on in her midnight hour. She had faith in the dark. It's possible that it's your midnight hour right now, or someone you love, they're in their midnight hour. The night is so lonely, so dark, no relief on the horizon, but stay in faith. Live in hope. Midnight means a new day has already begun. Night is coming to an end, and morning is coming soon. Scripture says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. It's true. Healing comes in the morning. Vindication, victory comes in the morning. Restoration comes in the morning. You may not understand the timing. You may not see anything changing. But when you have faith in the dark, when you trust enough to keep holding on during that long night, when you keep pounding, knocking on God's door, even at midnight, when you keep praying all through the night like Abraham, and when you have faith and keep believing like my friend Liz, there is no doubt. You can rest assured and be certain of this. Your new day is on the way.